Hey, listeners, Raghul coming in real quick. Just to let you guys know, this episode and the ones that will follow in Trailblazing Terror have been a long time coming. I've been really wanting to get this content out to you guys in a while, but like you've heard on countless other episodes, I'm a garbage person. It's very unorganized, but I hope you guys enjoy this and this episode and largely this entire section of this of the podcast, this new part of it, is largely inspired and kind of brought to you by Horror Hound. I was fortunate enough to be kind of running press for Horror Hound last March. Got to meet a lot of cool people, and it was life-changing. So this section, this entire section of the show is brought to you by Horror Hound, and specifically their film festival. It was amazing. I got to see a lot of amazing movies, world premieres. I talked to actors, actresses, directors, writers. It was amazing. If anyone ever has the chance to make it to a Horror Hound Film Festival, I seriously, seriously hope that anyone can make it, because it was awesome. Plus, if you make it a Horror Hound in March, odds are you'll be able to see me. So, you know, there's always that. Anyway, hope you enjoy the segment. Let me know what you think. Bye.
To be a gangster.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the first episode of Trailblazing Terror on Headlong into Monsters, the ADHD of horror movie podcasts. I am Raghul, your elderly emo, coming at you from beautiful Tooele, Utah. In this part of the show, we take a second to spotlight upcoming creators in the horror genre, directors, writers, actors, authors, and everyone in between. So, damn it, I didn't write. Well, all right. So, I guess so. Join us as we dive headlong into monsters. I usually have this little thing where I insert two little quips directly related to the subject at hand. And this is a new segment. I wrote this new introduction and I forgot to add in those two little quips. So I'm a dumbass. Anyway, this is episode one of Trailblazing Terror, and today we'll be talking to Grayson Siebert, right? Am I saying that correctly?
Yes.
Awesome. Grayson Siebert is the writer and director of the short film Master, which did not premiere at Horror Hound because it was released on YouTube beforehand, but it was screened last March at Horror Hound, and that's where I got the chance to watch it and also talk directly to Grayson Siebert. But for the sake of, you know, keeping things a little bit updated, we're going to have a second interview here with Grayson and I. Grayson, I'm so excited to have you on the podcast. Thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's a real pleasure.
Oh, the pleasure's all mine, I assure you. let's see. I do have some questions to ask you, but real quick, can you tell us about the short film you made? And it's pretty short, right? It's less than 3 minutes long.
It's like 3.5 minutes, including the credits.
Oh, okay. Can you tell us a little bit about it? Give us a bare bones synopsis.
So basically, the synopsis, I think, as I remember it correctly, a deeply disturbed young woman, is torn between fervor and remorse in the aftermath of the execution of her licentious dark desires. So there you go. That's kind of a mouthful, but that's basically the overall synopsis of my film, as short as it is.
And you know what? I absolutely love that synopsis. And I tell you, it's every spoken word of dialogue Well, I guess there's no actual dialogue. It's more of a voiceover throughout throughout the film. But all the dialogue, the voiceover, is a poem. Did you write that poem?
Yes, I did.
Awesome. And I don't know how old you are, if you were around during like the emo craze of the early 2000s. I was in high school. I mean, I graduated high school in 2006. That's why I referred to myself as an elderly emo.
Oh.
but that poem, I don't mean this in a disparaging way, but that poem was emo as fuck. So,
right.
I loved it. It was great. I mean, there are lines of that poem I absolutely love. Like, love me even as you die. I thought, oh shit, that's so good.
Thank you.
So what was kind of the creation? Where did the creation of this short film come from?
So the Master is a character I've been writing for several years now, probably a good 4 or 5 years. She comes from a lot of different things, or a lot of different aspects. A lot of her like persona and like personality and her dark philosophy, a lot of it comes from like my own, or a lot of the I guess the inspiration or aspiration of it comes from my own like inner turmoil I have, emotional, mental. Of course, I don't want to like actually like sacrifice children in real life.
Well, who does? I mean,
who does? Yeah, that's the novelty of her character, but. Yeah, a lot of inspiration for her comes from my own inner darkness and just kind of putting that on paper and in different mediums. But yeah, basically she in this film she is attached to this little boy who she finds to be pure and fully innocent, and she wants to harness that and taint it and create her own dark art out of that, because that's how she feels attached to people, and that's how she feels her own twisted version of love. And that's for these young children who she, you know, has some sort of twisted ideology that, you know, she can create from them and love them in some sick way. Of course, it's very disturbing. And she has this child, and she, it's assumed, you kind of like see kind of like clips of the kids smiling in my film, you know, it's kind of assumed, you know, they kind of like knew each other before this happened. And then mm-hmm. She takes him, and she ritualistically and, you know, from her own dark philosophy, kills him. And then this poem is about her harnessing this dark power that she wants so badly, and this inheriting this sort of like tainted obsessive love over this kid. And she kills him and then ritualistically performs, you know, like a ceremony for him. And then the poem shows that, and the poem kind of like is showing like the creation of this ideology out of that.
I do love how the poem is like a very dark, like love letter. And it talks a lot about love and, like giving oneself completely and entirely. There's, oh my gosh, there's another line mm-hmm. that I absolutely loved. Crush your body up against me. Draw me with your trembling sign. My gosh, I loved that. I wrote the poem down. Like as I was watching the film, I wrote it down just because I wanted to, kind of like talk about certain lines in the poem that I absolutely loved. Your wording in the poem is very beautiful.
Thank you.
I found the poem incredibly beautiful. And the visuals that you used, very foreboding. I'm not entirely sure what was going on with that, like pentagram out of string connected to the skeleton between the trees, but I thought that was really cool.
Oh, thank you.
I assume that's part of the this dark ritual that she's kind of built up in her mind, correct?
Right, correct.
Oh man, I loved it. The visuals were really cool, especially like at one point there's like I don't know how to describe it. I guess just someone playing with intestines and blood, and it's kind of like the POV, and it's the camera is now the viewer, and the viewer is the one that's kind of in the blood, mashing it with their hands. I love it.
Thank you so much. It was a lot of fun to this was my first film I've ever done. So it was a lot of fun. I wrote the script and the screenplay entirely by myself, and I just got to toy around with everything and all the. It was a lot of fun being able to transport or translate like the visuals in my head into actual, you know, working material. I think that was probably my favorite process, or part of the process of making this film, was able to actually like draw everything out and write everything out in a way that was actually made for film, you know, because I mean, I just did it entirely on my own, not really knowing what I was doing. But yeah, I had a lot of fun with it.
Well, so I should let the listeners know that you are also the star of the short film. The titular master is you. You play that role, right?
Yes, yes.
So how was it directing and starring in the film?
It was my first time doing both. So I've acted before in theater, but never in film. It was a really, really great challenge, you know, and being able to like, you know, speak my creativity and the way I wanted to harness it, you know, with my crew members. But also being able to act as the master was thrilling, and very, very actually emotionally challenging, which I wasn't expecting. I was kind of expecting, oh, you know, it's going to be a fun project, you know, I'll be able to play the master and yada, yada. But actually there was a lot of like hardcore emotion, probably because she is so related to my inner monologue, you know, so she's so deranged, you know, so I mean, that was actually a pretty tough character to play, but I'm directing it alongside my family and my friends. It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it.
So the beginning of this short film, and a lot of people would assume that there's not a lot of substance in a short film that is credits and all, just a little over 3 minutes, but it's pieced together so much. It gives you a very brief but also very direct view of like a manic mind, and some of the very quick cuts of facial expressions and hand gestures. I think even though they're kind of minimalistic, they speak volumes as to just how mentally unhealthy this character is.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I really wanted to convey that in my film. I wanted to show the different moods and the different affectations she was feeling during this whole process. You know, that's why she's caught between this, like, this large, you know, gargantuan fervor of actually, like, you know, executing her desire, but also she's held back by this sort of, like, remorse for what she's done and how deranged and how, you know, demented it really is, you know, so I really wanted to showcase that very, you know, through various facial expressions and, you know, the overall spinning of the camera and kind of like this like manic whirlwind of mania.
Well, I think you nailed it, because at least for myself, I could definitely, without any direct dialogue from the character, I mean, it was kind of, you know, very clear that this person is not well.
Definitely not.
So I think you nailed that. Real quick, when I know that it was you had published it on your YouTube channel before it actually premiered at Horror Hound. But how was it? Like, what were your thoughts and emotions seeing your short film like premiered at a film festival? Like, how was that?
It was everything I've ever dreamed of, man. I before, I come from a background of theater, and I recently got into film maybe a couple years ago. So actually have, you know, being able to be a part of like an indie film fest and actually being able to like have my work displayed was just a true treasure. It was fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Now, like, did you submit your film, to Horror Hound, or how does that work exactly?
So there's a website called Film Freeway, where I'm pretty sure it's probably one of the major film submission websites, but there are hundreds of film festivals that you can submit your film through to these festivals, and then they do their judging process after downloading your film.
Oh, that's really cool. And do they kind of distribute it out to different film festivals from there, or how does that work?
I'm not sure. I know that some films can receive like distribution depending on the connections that they make, depending on, you know, what happens at the film festival. But as far as I know, they download the film and then they, through several judging rounds, they judge the film and then they critique it and then they eventually choose whether or not it ends up as an official selection. So.
Oh, okay. That's kind of cool. I didn't know that. So when we talked at Horror Hound, you said that it was originally, you filmed this for an assignment for film school, correct?
Yeah. I'm getting an associate's right now in writing studies, since writing is another passion of mine, of course. And I took a film class, an intro to film class, and I made this project. The assignment for the film class was to make a 2-minute short film of any genre of your choosing. You know, you could be about anything as long as it was, you know, relatively appropriate. And that really sent me off on actually like having like a concrete reason to put the master in a different medium besides my sketchbooks and my poems, you know, which are more private to me. So I actually said, you know what, I'm going to release her to the world and see what happens. And apparently it's been working out for me. So
awesome. Awesome. So sorry, excuse me. I just ate dinner. So there are some like sketchbook type images in your movie. Are those images from your sketchbook? Like, did you draw those?
Yes, there was only one piece of art that I got from a favorite horror artist of mine that I used. But everything else is hand drawn by myself.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, that was really, I really enjoyed those drawings too. So that was cool to be able to see that type of art. So we got to see your hand drawing. We got to hear your poetry. We got to see your directing chops, and we got to see your acting chops. There's a lot of you as far as creativity goes in this short film. That's incredible. That's really, really cool. So real quick, let's talk about some of your like you as a horror fan. What are some of the things that like I guess some of your favorite horror movies, or really horror anything that inspired you or brought you into the, like, how long have you been a horror fan? I guess I should start there.
I've been a horror fan ever since my dad introduced me to vampires and pirates when I was a little kid. And I've always loved haunted houses, and I wasn't scared by them. I was actually fascinated by them. You know, a little like 6-year-old was like, wow, look at all the blood and gore and skeletons. I'm into this, you know, which probably is not the thought of most 6-year-olds, but I was really drawn by the dark artistry of everything. And so I've been a horror fan for a long time. Some of my favorite films, I'd say I definitely want to start with the Insidious franchise.
Nice.
Yeah. Love that. I can watch that all the time. I like the artistry of it, and the visuals, the storytelling is just incredible, I think. I'm usually a big fan of like psychological, like sometimes supernatural horror. So I also love other movies like Paranormal Activity, The Conjuring, other things like that. So that's really what inspires me.
That's really cool. You know, speaking of like little kids and exposing them to horror, I obviously am a huge horror fan. My son is 6 years old. At the beginning of every episode, there's a little soundbite of him saying, "Damn, it feels good to be a gangster." And I think he recorded that when he was maybe 4 years old. but he knows who characters like Jason Voorhees, Michael Myers, Leatherface, Chucky, Ghostface. Like, he knows these characters, even if he hasn't seen these movies. But we do watch horror movies, he and I. And in fact, I was rewatching your short film, and he was with me as I was rewatching it. And after it was over, I turned to him and I said, "What did you think, man?" And he said, that was really cool. I hope there's more of that." So,
that's so great. Wow.
Yeah, he was a fan. He wants to see where that character goes.
Yeah, I actually I aspired to make a full length film, titled The Master as well. Like really exploring her, like her full entire story. Because you know, 2 minutes is just a very short snippet of her story. But yeah, I'm currently writing a full length film for her as well, and I have all these pictures and you know other poems related to her. So yeah, I'm excited for what the future holds.
Me too. I mean, I really enjoyed it, and considering how much of like how intrigued I am by just those few minutes of the character, I would really like to see a full length feature film about it. Are there any directors that you kind of look up to as far as like what they're capable of? And is there any directors that you would like to, that you seek to emulate as far as style and movies go?
I honestly don't know many directors, but one I do admire greatly is James Wan, who of course did Insidious and he did Saw as well. And with his buddy Leigh Whannell, who I also admire greatly in the horror genre. But yeah, James Wan is like, I don't know, I like his vision is so it branches off into like a sort of like, I feel like artsy horror, you know, it's very like emotional and very like emotive, you know, so I really enjoy his work and his visuals are stunning and I love his camera work, his cinematography, everything.
So I have to ask, what was that James Wan film that was very divisive a couple years ago? It was, oh my gosh, this is gonna really piss me off. I'll get to that in a second, but you said you're in school right now. You took an introduction to film class.
Yes.
What's your like end goal? Do you want to mainly direct, mainly write, a little bit of both? Like what's your kind of end goal with that?
Right. So I do plan to attend after I get, or like even during my associates. I don't have much longer to go with it. I do plan to attend the New York Film Academy. I would love to audition for one of their conservatories and for acting in film. And I mainly would like to act. But also direct and produce as well. So I kind of want to delve into all three. And I want to act for both theater and film. So, but especially I'm kind of like hyper-focused on film right now because of my severe interest in it ever since for the past couple of years. But yeah, I love theater as well. So that's kind of like my end goal, what I want to do.
So when did you originally get started in theater? Was that like high school? Did you take were you in the drama club?
I got started as an actor when I was a kid. I did plays and comedy shows and recital performances. I sang as well, and I composed music. So yeah, ever since I was a kid, my breakout role was I played Mike TV in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, for a local theater. Yeah, and then I did theater all through middle school and all through high school. I was in several productions, and then I also went to the University of Utah. I went there for 2 years for their actor training program.
Oh, that's cool. So you were in my neck of the woods. That's awesome.
Yes. Yeah. I lived in Utah for like 2.5 years. It was awesome. I miss it.
Did you enjoy it here?
Oh yeah. Yeah. The mountains, man. I mean, they are absolutely stunning.
It is beautiful. Where are you from initially? Originally, I guess.
New York City, Manhattan.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. But I've lived all over the country, and I've also lived abroad. I was an English teacher in China for a while and also in Costa Rica. And I traveled Europe as well by myself. So I just, I'll go anywhere. I love traveling.
So that's awesome. I'm not a traveling kind of guy. Even on vacation, my ideal vacation is just staying home, lock myself in the basement, watch horror movies and play Xbox. I'm a super boring guy. I guess I'll go mountain biking too, but that's neither here nor there. The movie I wanted to ask you about is actually James Wan's Malignant. Do you remember that? Did you watch that movie?
Oh, I have not seen that, but I know about it, yes.
Oh, man, I really wanted to ask you how you felt about that movie.
I heard, didn't it get, like, mixed reviews?
Like, that movie was very decisive, yes.
Yeah, that's what I heard. But I mean, I really want to see that. Yeah, yeah.
Not decisive, divisive.
I heard it got a lot of like kind of like crazy reviews, and I was like, wow, I wonder like what can make it so profound, like that.
I'm no spoilers, but there's, you know, 2/3 of the way there is a definite change in like the tone and almost the genre of the movie. In a way that was so divisive, people either hated it entirely or they loved it unapologetically. Mm. And I'm kind of on the latter side. I absolutely loved where the movie went after the turn. I'm not going to say what it is, but I mean, my co-host Ashley, she is completely the other way. She absolutely despises where that movie went.
Oh, wow.
But I loved it. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'll definitely have to check it out.
Yeah, please let us know, because, you know, considering how much you you enjoy James Wan's work, I'm really, really curious to see where you land on that argument, I guess.
Mm. Will do. I'll definitely have to think on that.
Yeah. So are there, you said you wanted to make a full length feature film, and your long-term goals for, I guess, your career and your quest in filmmaking. What's like close to, a little closer to the, to any upcoming releases, what's something you would like to work on now or are working on now that we can kind of look forward to seeing sometime soon?
I am working on publishing my first volume of poetry.
Oh, cool.
So I have that going on. Yeah, I'm excited about that. And also there's a short film. I also want to create, it's a drama. I envision it being about 10-15 minutes long. Here, let me pull up a synopsis. I can let you know what it is. Let's see here. Okay, yeah, the synopsis here is a young woman running from a dismal past while struggling with a devastating addiction encounters a stranger who changes her life through the course of one very expected, though unexpected, encounter.
Wait, so the encounter is expected but unexpected?
At the same time, yes.
All right, well, I'm intrigued.
Yeah, it's a project I started a few months ago, and right now I'm in like the kind of like the conceptualization stage of it still, but yeah, I'd like to get started on the script here pretty soon. But yeah, I'm excited for that project, definitely.
Awesome. Now, if the stars were to align and... you caught, like, I don't want to say a big break, because independent directors constantly are making amazing films, both short and full feature length films. But if you were to kind of be given a blank check and full creativity, what's like the ideal movie that you would like to create?
I would definitely say the master's story. I've wanted to share her full story for a really long time, so she's definitely a central figure. I've endured some traumas in my life that have really hindered me in several ways, and I think it would be extremely cathartic to actually write her story, which has a lot to do with, you know, what I faced when I was younger. And actually be able to sort of help it, help me heal via the medium that is film. So that's probably like my biggest central project I would love to create if I had like full reign over everything.
Awesome. That's really cool. So you're using I guess filmmaking is kind of like a personal, maybe psychiatric couch, maybe?
Yeah, yeah. I'm kind of using it as like my own kind of like personal therapy in a way, yeah.
That's what I meant to say. That's what I was looking for.
Yeah, I mean, I've always used poetry that way to kind of like to express myself that way, but I think combining visuals with my own writing, I think, would be the next step. So definitely.
Well, that's really cool. That's kind of how I use podcasting. I can't tell you how many times podcasting has really helped me clear my mind, or I don't know, just help me mentally. It definitely seems like an outlet, being able to dissect movies and talk to just people about horror and the genre that I love and hold so near and dear to my heart. So that's really cool. I'm really glad that this genre can help so many people. A lot of people think the horror is just blood, guts, and unadulterated violence, but it's so much more than that. I always tell people that horror is the most honest genre of filmmaking that there is.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, like, there was another filmmaker at Horror Hound, actually. I was on a speaking panel at Horror Hound, and another filmmaker that was on the panel with me, I think it was a woman, she said that horror is so, like, boundless and limitless, you know, and, like, no other genre is quite as boundless or limitless, you know? I mean, like, you can literally do anything with horror because it's horror. You know, I mean, it's such a crazy, diverse, like, just incredible genre that you can play around with. And there is a lot of, I mean, like, I will admit there have been some kind of like dumb, like, slasher movies I've seen, and I'm just like, that had like no substance in it whatsoever. But, I will say there are more often than not, horror movies that I've seen that really leave me thinking and really leave me kind of like changed in a way. Because of the substance that they create, you know, I mean, they really truly are grappling with, you know, humanity's darkest emotions. And that is, you know, that could be cathartic for any viewer, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's so many things that horror is willing to do and able to do just because of the nature of the genre that no other film genre can do. And I find that beautiful.
Yeah, same here. I mean, like, you can express yourself, or express, you know, your, you know, the dark visuals in your mind, and it's totally right. It's totally true, you know? So yeah, that's what I love about absolutely. It.
Oh my gosh. Horror is such a beautiful genre. Mm-hmm. Real quick, probably one of the last questions that I had here. If you had the opportunity to remake a movie, and I ask this because so many people don't like remakes. I'm an apologist for remakes. Movies, even if they're near and dear to me and they hold such a special place in my heart, if I hear that a movie's getting remade, I'm like, cool, I'd love to see what a new director, a new writer, acting team, I'd love to see what they can do with this story, because I also love music. And whenever I hear like a cover of a song that, whether I liked it or not, I think it's really cool, and it doesn't change anything from the original song. That's kind of how I view remakes. You know, any modern interpretation of a beloved classic never takes away, in my opinion, from that original movie. So if you had the opportunity to remake any movie, what would it be and why?
Oh, I think the first thing that came to my mind was this brilliant drama called Black Swan with what's her name? Oh, hold on, I gotta look it up. I totally am drawing a blank on her name. Black Swan. Natalie Portman.
Oh yeah, Natalie Portman.
Yeah, Natalie Portman. That movie is one of my favorite movies of all time. It's about this very timid, fragile ballerina who undergoes this like huge transformation emotionally, mentally, physically, when she is cast as the Swan Queen in Swan Lake, because she has to play both a very innocent, pure, princess, the character, but then she also has to switch and you know, have a metamorphosis into this evil, lustful twin of that character. And so Nina, the main character, she goes through this incredible, like, very sensual, very dark transformation into this, like, idea of just, like, artistic perfection. And it's very disturbing, but also, like, beautiful at the same time. And I would love to recreate that from, like, a masculine perspective and kind of, like, make the main character male and have him have the same traits. Oh. And have, you know, and, like, have him, and, like, he would have the same mentality. And I want to see kind of, like, a man go through that transition, you know, in the same field. So I think that's what I would do with that.
Now, that's really cool. A lot of people don't consider that one direct horror. I do. I watched that movie with my wife, and she's not a horror fan, but we both really enjoyed that movie. It's very psychological. There's a lot of pretty good body horror in there, especially for a movie that a lot of people aren't going to even consider horror. But I thoroughly enjoyed that movie. That's a very modern movie. That's a pick I would not have guessed. A lot of people.
Yeah, it's pretty recent, but I mean, just I think about it a lot, and I'm just like, wow, what would like, you know, like this specific scene, you know, like what would be the perspective of a man in this, or like, you know, because I'm always like, I kind of had this like obsession with kind of like gender, and kind of like exploring like the many facets of masculinity and femininity. And I feel like it would be really great to get that perspective from an actual guy, in the same field. And it would be so different yet so similar at the same time. So,
well, that's really freaking cool. I would love to see that kind of movie portrayed with, you know, different gender roles and whatnot. Because you don't really see male actors portraying such a vulnerable, character. And I think Natalie Portman's character in that movie is very vulnerable and emotionally damaged. You really don't get that for a lot of male actors. So that would be really cool, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's one of the reasons I want to like redo it with a man, because, you know, the male actors are usually, you know, seen as like, or like male actors, I should say, portray roles a lot in all different types of genres that are more like stoic and, you know, like, you know, he's got his shit together. You know, but, you know, I mean, in this one, he's very, very damaged and very fragile. And I would just love to see that. So,
yeah, that's awesome, man. I think, have you ever seen the movie Voices with Ryan Reynolds?
I've heard of that one. I have not seen it, though.
That one is kind of like a man who is mentally unwell, and he kind of has to play two different aspects to his character, not quite as dynamically, but it's a pretty vulnerable role, especially for Ryan Reynolds. And it's a movie that really kind of shows off his acting chops and the range of his acting prowess. I champion that movie all the time. So if you get a chance, I recommend that.
I'm going to write that down right now, actually. Yeah, that'll be great. I'm always on the lookout for new art, so anything that I can watch I will definitely take a chance on.
Yeah, if you watch that, let me know what you thought, because I champion that movie all the time. Real quick before we leave, what are some of the plugs that the listeners can find you, follow you, search out your work, and any other stuff that you have?
Yes, I'm at YouTube, Instagram, Facebook. I'm on TikTok as well. Grayson Siebert, so Grayson, and then Sebert, Grayson Siebert. You can find me at all of those links. I also have Linktree, so on all my social media, so you can find me easily. I'm also on IMDb as well, so feel free to review my movie on IMDb, please, if you're listening and would like to watch it. But yeah, my film's available on YouTube. It almost has 1,700 views now, so it's a smaller audience. But I think, you know, I'm impressed with how far it's gone. So I'm really proud of that.
Well, I've watched that movie, or your film, about 7 times now, because I really wanted to make sure I gave it a good amount of viewings before this interview. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. Like I said, you have at least one really young fan because my son absolutely enjoyed the movie.
Great.
Which I didn't think he would because he's the kind of kid that really likes more action horror.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he sleeps with a stuffed xenomorph from James Cameron's Aliens.
I love that.
And so more of a drama, very dialogue heavy or dialogue driven short film. I thought he was just gonna be like, oh, that was all right, but he really enjoyed it, so that's cool.
Wow, that's great.
And listeners, please, please, please check it out. I will have a link in the show notes to where you can find the short film on YouTube. Please check it out. Let us know what you thought. Give us some listener feedback. And help support this movie and support Grayson because she is an independent, upcoming horror genre lover creator. And we need to support the horror genre in all aspects. So please, listeners, please, please, please check out this film. It's badass. And let us know what you think.
Yes, please. Thank you very, very much.
Absolutely. Do you have any parting words before we kind of say goodbye?
I just wanted to say thank you again for having me. It was a great interview, and I'm looking forward to the future and what it holds. So we'll see where I go.
Absolutely. And if you ever, for any future aspects or not aspects, prospects that you have or release or anything like that, feel free to reach out to me. Let me know what's going on. And because I would love to see kind of where your career goes and anything you do, I'd love to support you and get the word out and stuff like that. So anything like that, always reach out to me and whatnot.
Oh, for sure. Thank you very, very much.
Absolutely. Well, listeners, that's going to be episode one for Trailblazing Terror. We hope you enjoyed this interview. There will be more coming soon because I will be reaching out to other writers, directors, actors, and actresses that I met at Horror Hound. So this is just one of many to come. And I guess join us for continuous episodes as we once again dive headlong into monsters. Bye.